Ok, mais je connais bonjour tout le monde. Nous pouvons préparer pour le sermon this morning. Aujourd'hui, c'est le troisième dimanche of sa mois. Et this month, nous pouvons sa idée of heal by his wounds. Nous pouvons guéri par son propre boubou. Et nous pouvons jouer actuellement pour dire ultimately God infini in good, in experience, in feel, in suffer from tout sa coup qui le monique a donné. Et dans son lame, c'est dans sa imprint of the cross. Dans son côté, c'est dans sa side, côté sa lance, typically. On his feet, actually, you had the scars of the nail on the cross. He says, through all these wounds, that's how all of us will be healed. Aujourd'hui, actually, I want to go in the Old Testament and look at a psalm, Psalm 51, and we'll have an expository lesson. It was this expose a psalm. It really talk about the power of healing through God's wounds through this psalm. Very, very powerful psalm. So we will spend about, 15-20 minutes simply just looking at the power of this psalm. Because nous voyons puji sometimes we don't recognize puji we need healing. And we will need to have people who care about us. Men and women of God who care enough about us, who nudge us slowly into the Lord, but we will find our own healing. In Psalm 51, he represents slowly sa notion of being encouraged to seek healing in God. Let's read together Psalm 51, and that will be our sermon this morning. This psalm is written by David. Actually, the majority of Psalms has been written by David. But what we see, we want a preamble, an introduction given at the beginning of this psalm. The text tells us, actually, this specific psalm was written right after David was confronted by Nathan. In the event that he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. All right? So the psalmist David was confronted by a man of God because the essence he has committed a sin, but he had not come full circle. He has not come to terms with his wounds that he was suffering from. It was that it took a man of God who challenged him to look from within and recognize how wounded he was and to seek healing in God. So in essence, nous pouvons croire any men and women of God right this morning. Nous pouvons croire even any visitor this morning through this psalm who look from within and recognize your own wounds. And see specifically how this wound is hurting God. And God will invite us to come to Him and plunge in His wound through His blood and find healing to restore our souls. Can get destroyed by sin. So, psalm this morning, it was simple levitation. It was simple invitation for anyone this morning to come forward and repent from all the sins that you know is going on in your life that perhaps nobody else does. And use this sermon, surely, as a catalyst that will stimulate you to do the right thing, to seek healing and recover. Psalm 51 verse 1. David is here. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Yet there is some folks, Nathan confronted David by using an anecdote. Nathan is telling David, there was a young man who had a ewe lamb. Alright, so the young man, he said a titi lamb. Presented a king who had thousands of sheep and lamb. And so the king is preparing to have a banquet and to have company at his palace. So instead of taking one of his little ewe lamb from his big flock, he went and stole the one little precious ewe lamb from this innocent little man. and he killed, roasted this lamb, and feasted while this poor young man was grieving over his ewe lamb, his precious little ewe lamb. Et intéressant, mais il est David, il révolte, il dit, actually, this is wrong, this is unjust, this man needs to be punished.
In 1 Samuel 21, sorry, 2 Samuel 11, that's exactly what David is saying. David, il révolte, il dit, comment? This man needs justice, the guy who robbed this young man, he needs to be punished.
And actually, if nobody else is going to punish him, I will bring justice to this poor little innocent man. And in essence, what David is doing with this song, il y a des forces, non? Pour nous guetter à qui point qui nous pas crier wrong à quelque chose qui nous fait mal. De qui façon qui nous parle pour établir la justice de tout le monde wrong qui peut arriver autour de nous là. David dit, mais si vous willing pour faire ça, est-ce que are you as willing to do this in your own life? Because when Nathan confronted David, and David said, I want justice, he grabbed his sword, he's going to kill whoever did this. Nathan told him, David, hold your horses, you are the man. It's you are the man. Et présent, he shot him, so he stood for a second, and he looked from within. That's when he recognized the gravity of the sin that he has committed.
Et présent là, il plead avec God in verse 1. Il dit, God, you are so gracious, you are so loving. Il dit, serve you compassion to blot out my sin.
Because now I have come to terms with it. It is ugly. It is magnanimous. It is huge. What I've committed is to use your compassion and heal me from my sins.
Verse 2. David said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
David said, I recognize how you will sin in fermosita. How human sin has made me so dirty in that sense. It has corrupted me. It has stained me. I see now how ugly my sin is before you, God. And so the devil is pleading to God for voice a little pee to cleanse our soul, to purify him.
He tells God, cleanse me, O God. Cleanse me from my sin. And notice verse 3.
Notice verse 3, folks.
It's for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Let's move by into time up. Voilà. He asked this one question. What sin is going on in your life right now that you know about and nobody else does? What struggles are going on in your life right now that you need a Nathan to come and poke you into your self-consciousness to come to terms with the ugliness of your sin? What is going on right now? Jesus, if we could strip you bare from all the covers, what will you find? What will we find? What would God find? David is here in verse 3, I know my sin. But all this time, I was just trying to play deaf to it. I was trying to play blind to it. Because it was so bad, it was so hard to look at it. Let me give you an indication how that is. Let's say that somebody has stolen something. Okay? Somebody has stolen something really, really important. Something very valuable. And so, we are asking, man, you know what? the person is crying and he's saying, you know, I've lost my stuff. Somebody has stolen my stuff. And so the person who's stolen that thing, precious thing, if he is in the midst of the one who's been stolen, it'd be very hard for him to hear the person talking about what was stolen. Then, so suppose a vikili, it makes a fini cause loda. Yahweh cause loda. It's very uncomfortable for him to be in his presence and still talk about what he's stolen. Because the more you talk about it, the more you come closer to what ugliness has been created by the crime that's been committed. Et c'est pas un monde qui consciemment boit, et consciemment sous, et consciemment déversé, qui par contre en pose l'aura pour les boire. It's pas un monde qui commet adultère, very uncomfortable when we talk about adultery. If somebody is arrogant, very uncomfortable when we talk about arrogance. If somebody is zoué, very uncomfortable when we talk about the sin. So what we're trying to do, nous délayons. Nous réjouir actually because it's not comfortable for us to talk about it. So if you can talk less about it, then somehow we all feel comfortable. Here David says in this song, it's the I know my sin. I know my sin. It's the my transgression are ever before me. So keep transgression be ever before you. This is why you're keeping so mute. And you're hoping that nobody knows, nobody finds out. Because you've made this pact between you and sin, that somehow we got this covered somewhere. We got it taken care of. It's nobody knows about it. It's covered. What sin is going on in your life right now?
David G., Nathan, the God, the man of God, was the one who helped me pull off all the blinders and brought me into direct connection with what was going on in my life. And sometimes, folks, we have to be Nathans in our brothers and our sisters' lives in order to help them see, come to terms with the ugliness of their sins. It's not a judgment. It's an encouragement. It's not like a pointing fingers, actually. It's a grabbing hold of them with their hands in fellowship. That's what it is. It's an extension of fellowship when we're trying to get our brother and our sisters to come out of sin. It's not a judgment at all. It's not a pointing of fingers. Nathan, by any means, was not trying to put David on the spot to embarrass him, to put him down. Actually, he did it to save him from the mire of sinfulness. To remind him of who he was. You're not that kind of person, David. You are more than this. It is time for you to come home. So now David even is here. I know my sin and my transgressions is ever before me. What is interesting in verse 4, David has come so much in terms of his own sin. Listen to what he says. It is against you, and you only God have I sinned. Finally, no excuses. I recognize it for what it is. Anytime that I'm caught up in this sin, I'm sinning against you, my God.
That's how bad it is. And now, I'm going to confess this sin. I need you, God, to come in and cleanse me from this horrible mess.
Okay, like what we say, folks?
Until qui nous reconnaît qui nous sin est ugly before God, we will never change. Always make excuses. We will always cover. We will always blame people. Always accuse them of judging us.
But when I come to a point where I see that my mess is ugly before the one who created me, the one who made me to be born again, when I come to a point, you know what? I have heard the holiness, the glory of God, nothing will change.
Remind me a bit more of Joseph. When this young woman, Potiphar's wife, came to him and was trying to seduce him, Now Joseph recognized this one thing. That woman was beautiful. She was dead, drunk, gorgeous. The guy understood that if he stayed in this palace, or actually, if he stayed in this bedroom where she was at, for long enough, he would be caught up in this seductive trap. He knew this. So according to Joseph, is he, you know what? My God will be so dishonored if I allow myself to be trapped in this thing. So you know what he tells her? There is no way that I will sin against my God. That's what he told her.
Et pas ça ici qu'on est bon? Mon père m'a dit avec whatever the consequences qui vient avec ça. Yes, you are beautiful. What is tantalizing actually right now? Pour mon cas, vraiment, sleep with you.
It will feel good for the moment. But Joseph dit, there's something that restrains me. It's the fear of dishonoring the one in whom I am basking in. His glory. It's my God. I don't want to hurt.
Et puis, Joseph, il pense à risque.
Et comment tu dis maintenant? Joseph, il pense à risque of getting comment less than a man. Il pense à risque of getting gognade, pas ça madame. Il pense à risque, actually, of getting slandered and falsely accused by her. He took the risk. Et vous l'avez dit, God's glory is worth any risk. That's what he concluded.
God's glory is worth any risk.
And because he took that stand, he ended up in a prison cell. In the darkest pit of that dungeon. That's where he ended up. And sadly, many men and women, even many men and women of God, will not take that stand because they're not willing. They don't have the courage to take the risk.
Can you imagine, folks, when that woman came to her husband,
honey, I cannot believe this servant that you had here came and violated me and made a sport out of me. Look, his clothes are still in my hand. How horrible. And Joseph looks at her and says, that is not true. But you know what? The text tells us that the king was so angry at Joseph, he was not willing to listen to Joseph's side. Because he was weak. He's got the evidence in his hand. What more does he need to know?
Man, that young man, he embraced this moment.
Even in a dungeon, in the darkness pit, somehow God will be glorified through me.
That's what he said. Didn't look good. But it was the right thing for him to do. It's amazing how here, David, he gets shaken up to the awareness. Kino, your sin is not private.
I think that that's one thing that most people really engage in, is this is my business, this is my thing, it does not concern anybody else. It is so wrong, it is so untrue. Puis-je, my sin, actually, let's not permit sin, you know, my choices, whether it's good or wrong, does not concern just me alone. It has a repercussions on everybody else around me. So when a brother chooses what is good, what is right, you know, that becomes a positive for me who's in his life. When a sister chooses what is wrong, what is evil, it has a repercussion on me who cares about her. It doesn't concern only you.
So what would have happened, folks, if David told Nathan, why don't you mind your own business? What is it to you that me and Bathsheba want to have a little thing together? What is that concern here?
Okay, Nathan, it's That's the burden of care that I'm carrying. That's a burden of caring for you. Loving you so much that makes me come here and challenging you to see the ugliness of your sin. Now I'm willing to take the risk of losing you as a friend just so we can do the right thing before our great God and Father. That's what Nathan says to him. But thankfully, Nathan, I'm very sorry, came to his senses. He saw that, man, this guy is not against me. He cares for me in telling me things that I don't want to hear, but I needed to hear to get me out of this ugly mess. David says, finally, he recognized this. A Jehovah God against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Can I ask a little caveat? If my brother or my sister cover me in my sin, protect me in my sin, they don't care about my soul. They don't care a lick about me the way that God cares about me.
If my brother, my sister, my wife, my husband, somebody in my life, they come in and put huge wall and blanket, they tell me they got my back, and instead of pulling me out of my sinfulness, they push me further down. They don't care about me at all. At least they don't care about my relationship with my God.
It's a lie. It's not true.
That's the burden of caring so much about people's spiritual souls. It puts you on the line. Forces you to make a decision. Nathan took that risk. And thankfully, David responded appropriately. And now, y'a pas ouvert sa honne cœur présent, et puis j'avais God,
I am tired of hiding anymore. Now I know just how bad it was all along when I was making excuses and saying it's not that bad. Now I know it is you and you alone have I sinned. It is against you alone, God, have I committed this grave evil.
Et intéressant, folks, he continues to say, so that you are justified when you speak. Yes, when God's word was spoken, it was not a judgment. It was justice. It was God's justice being established. When you speak, God, you are blameless when you judge. Now David says, now I understand. When you judge, you are blameless. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, verse 6, you desire truth in the innermost being. My goodness.
I could not stop as I was preparing for this lesson in thinking about this. Anytime somebody chooses to live against the moral standard that he knows is right, or so she knows is right, the only companion coupon now, c'est mensonge, lies. Anytime qui m'ont décidé vivre dans sin, à cause de go against un standard moral qui m'ont pour le quotidien, mon seul compagnon qui me prend et ma côté, c'est lies, not truth. And for months in on end, when did everything fail? He lied through his teeth. And I will become numb at the horribleness of my mess. That's what he's doing. He's sipping on pina colada every day. He's throwing parties. And he's checking on what's going on in the battlefield. Oh, did that guy come home? The husband come home? How about put him on the front line? How about just giving him a little token of appreciation, sending home to his wife? A downward spiral into sinfulness. He was numb to it. Until Nathan came and shook him to consciousness and awareness.
David, it is getting so ugly, my man. you not even see. He said, what happened to you? What has become of you? Come to terms to reality.
Show the truth in your hands, E.G. And let that truth penetrate the innermost part of your being. Stop living a lie.
That's when David E.G., God, behold, now I realize you desire truth in the innermost being. In the hidden part, you will know what make me so wise.
David, come to conclusion. Laisse-moi décider, Fox. Laisse-moi décider. Rester couvre dans sinfulness. Dis ça que mon corps, mon frère, mon corps, mon compagnon, mon son, because this is the only thing that's there. Mon son, in lies. And lies has a way to pollute and corrupt our souls. It has a way.
That's not the way that Christians should live. That's not the way any human being should live for that fact. Verse 7. Therefore, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice.
See, David, finally, I understand. The powerful wounds qui m'ont fait signifier, it is God, don't want sons, give me an opportunity to be mended and whole again. Give me an opportunity to be cleansed from all this ugliness.
Don't want sons. Because I want to rejoice. Eh? I don't want to be saddened. I don't want to walk with shame. I don't want to be hiding and misook and wonder what's going on. I want to live lazy. I want to live with a lightness. And I want to live with joy.
Have my bones been broken? Please heal it. I want to feel joy again.
Equivalent to Jimuna. Let's say, quite and because of sexual intimacy in a Bible class, let's say that I make a joke, something funny about relationship. Most of you will laugh. Do you know that if somebody right now is living in sexual immorality, it's hard for them to laugh because they're not sure if they're laughing at themselves or they're laughing with them.
They're not sure. It's already hard to laugh. Automatically, their mind brings them to, what does that mean to me? What does that mean for my man?
They are tense. You become overly conscious of the environment.
What do they know that I don't know? See, you become very suspicious. When people are just laughing because they healed.
He, David, is here. I'm tired of walking along with this mess. Right there in my bones. I'm fatigated. Folks, listen for a second. The guy killed somebody over adultery. There's us. Listen. Let's say in Tombelli. Let's say, let's give him that. The guy, the man, the big man of God has fallen.
Because if you want, if you come forward, if you have Israel and everybody else, you know what, guys? I've messed up. The fear of being discovered caused him to go as far as killing people. Okay? And you could say we have an example of David, actually, when we talk about the fantasy of affairs. That's how far he will go for the cast of the cosmology. Even killing somebody in the process. Because he's afraid of being seen and discovered.
You know what? If I'm echoing that actually as I'm saying this,
God bid you have it more, that can be you too when you fall. If you decide to remain hiding, you'll be driven to murder just to keep no one from knowing this world. That can be you too.
David, I have freedom. So you invite God to put on this liberty. Purify my spirit, God. Make me to know joy. Verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. What's that? David, you want to say, Papa, get more for her. That can just destroy me. This wipe of my sin. See?
There's so much shame, rather, is he packet more. Don't look at me. Cassez the figure from me, because what is blood of my sin.
Mon papa va mon get to the Holy Spirit, God. Because now I see how bad it is. So once God has done this, David is having God, create in me a clean heart, O God.
And this is where it comes down to. Are you struggling with drinking? Is that your sin? Drunkenness? I will have said, well, I have a problem for a long time. Who is there? Who is a problem? Is there a problem with fornication? Avec ma boyfriend et girlfriend pour un temps, pas pour ça un problème. Pour lesquels qu'on a un issue. Pour lesquels pornographie, this I pay subscription to internet will not solve the problem for the long time. Your heart is where the trouble is. Un problème avec cause mensonges. This resting mute will not solve the problem for long. It's your heart that needs to be exposed in flames. Un problème avec arrogance. Trying to be humble will not go a long ways for you right now. It's your heart that needs to be cleansed. That's what he says here.
So now, always, I'm going to see how they get here. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to recognize what's going on there. I'm going to start purifying it. That's when I know I'm on the way of doing what is right and living that life that brings peace and joy and happiness. That's the only way.
That's the only
one. Is you create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, oh God. Restez là dans mon présence, mon Dieu. Pas besoin de cast me away. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit to do what is right. Then and then only will I teach transgressors your way and sinners will be converted to you.
You know what he's saying? Let's say put it for a long time, won't breed adultery. All right? But finally, you muster up the courage to walk out down this aisle and confess to God first and foremost, God, for the last 10 years, I've mistreated my wife. I've abused our commitment of marriage. I've dishonored my family. But I'm willing to do what is right. Clean my heart. So you do this. And parlez about the risk that goes with this. You know what that will do to you? It will empower you to go and confront those who are caught up in the same sin and then have the courage to live in that. In a sense, you will build credibility to go and talk to those who don't have the courage to do the right thing. Because you know what it feels like to be in that position. It's exactly what you did, Ali. Et c'est pas une bonne opportunité, comme on a un build-up, parce que demain, moi qui parle sérieux, pas qui est dans mon transgression, moi qui parle teach, pas qui est dans mon transgression, moi qui parle courage, challenge, pour sortir de la messe. Parce que je sais exactement ce que ça feels like to be drowning in that person. So, ladies and gentlemen. And that is why, folks, there is power. Pas fear, pas weakness, there's power for a man and a woman of God right this morning. To have the courage to come forward and stand before God and before his brothers and sisters in Jesus. Please forgive me, God. I've messed up big time, but I'm willing to be healed. These are my wounds. Whatever it is, stop hiding. Stop remaining silent. Expose sin for what it is. And God will heal you powerfully. Powerfully.
Verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. You know what? When we live consciously of sin, it's impossible to offer a prayer. It's impossible to worship. If we worship, it's impossible to connect with what it says. So we keep consistency.
must say distance more complete more from everything else that's going on. You are possible to sing praises. You are possible to lead your family into what is right when I'm living in sin. Impossible to do it. And David says this right there. He says this right there.
Because he knows it. He's been through it. It's for you, God, you do not delight in sacrifice. Otherwise, I will give it to you. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. This is what God wants.
David, did you want to pray? No. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. I'm going to lead a song. I'm going to do a supper. I'm going to open my school for fellowship. That's not what God wants from me. He wants a broken heart. He wants me to recognize how broken I am because of my mess. That's what God desires. And that's what God wants me to come full terms with.
It is the sacrifices of God, verse 17, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise a repentant heart.
God is pleased when somebody repents and changes his heart. Don't care what anybody else has to say about it.
He doesn't even care who you think you are in front of anyone else. He does not despise a contrite heart. By your favor, do good to Zion, David E.C. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices. Then you will delight in burnt offerings and in whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Gemara, let me repent.
I started with what I had before. Then after, I was interested. Who got the money for my contribution? How am I going to open my home? What am I going to do? Then he cares about this. Because my poor bed will make me sorry. My poor son will make me sorry.
Anyone this morning? Anyone this morning has been touched enough by God's word because you feel like Nathan has spoken to you? Anyone this morning actually involved in a position by David?
All this time you've been kept sick with secret sin. Those are the things God is speaking to you. Anyone this morning? Don't want you to come. Come right now. Make your life work. Come right now with you. You know, Satan, I will no longer give you the power over my soul. Come right now, Jesus, to the enemy. I will no longer live in shame. Come right now, Jesus. See what it means to in the ministry now will come. Be easy. Change your heart. Let God in and offer him your heart to clean, to make you and whole. Offer him your broken spirit this morning. So that you can go and teach transgressors about God's word. So we can sing joy in our broken bones. So we can offer up sacrifices and good tidings on God's altar. Amen.